At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, for some time, the story that fentanyl is created and manufactured and shipped to the U.S. from China has been commonplace knowledge. However, what is surprising these days is we treat this as an American drug problem. I believe more than 100,000 people have died from what are considered fentanyl overdoses. However, why? What is the motive for the Chinese producers? What is their thinking about sending poison into the United States where it is consumed by people without ability to resist it? They're addicted.
The main criminal here is the Communist Party of China, and their motive is to kill Americans. It's simple as that. Now, there are Chinese criminal gangs, and I'm sure that their motive is money. But in China's total surveillance state, the Communist Party knows what's going on and facilitates and helps these gangs, as well as allow these gangs to launder their proceeds through the Chinese state banking system. And we have seen Chinese diplomats support the fentanyl gangs. So the criminal here is, this is not an American drug problem. This is a problem of U.S.-China relations and the criminality and the maliciousness of the Chinese regime.
We welcome our colleague Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who is happily a Canadian citizen, and apprises me that this is a problem not only for the United States, but also for several other of our allies in North America and the New World, chiefly Mexico and Canada at this point. Cleo, you also make the point in a recent broadcast that fentanyl should not be articulated as a drug problem. It is a chemical warfare problem. Please explain.
Yes, I mean, as Gordon said, the Chinese Communist Party could stop the flow anytime they wanted. And in fact, there was a meeting between then President Trump and General Secretary Xi, in which he said, she sort of said he would stop the flow, which implies that first, he knows there's a flow, and second, he could stop it if he wanted to. Of course, he didn't. This is specifically designed to destroy America from the inside. Normally, drug dealers don't want to kill their clients, but in this case, they don't care. In fact, it's desirable. And currently, fentanyl overdoses is the number one death of young men between the ages of, I think, 18 and 45. Those are the ages of the men that not only could go to war, but who would be raising families, who would be building society, who would be contributing to the community. This is a form of entropic warfare, using unrestricted warfare, as described by two PLA Air Force colonels in the book Unrestricted Warfare, published in 1999, in order to create a state of chaos, disintegration, fragmentation within U.S. society, so that China's comprehensive national power becomes larger in comparison. It's not accidental. It's a part of a complete, cohesive, comprehensive way of trying to degrade U.S. society, economy, political strength, military strength. And it's been an extremely effective method of chemical warfare attack in order to accomplish those goals.
Gordon, I have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, Confucius, in what I consider to be the most important thing that he's ever written, said that we need to call things by their proper names, because if we don't do that, we cannot understand and deal with problems effectively. It seems to me that this is not only a question of Chinese maliciousness, this is a question of American presidents knowing that China is behind the fentanyl gangs, having the power to stop it and not doing so. So this seems to me to be an issue which at home, something that we can deal with because it's an issue of political will. Do you think we're going to find that political will?
So you're right. That quote is incredibly important. And that's why the Chinese Communist Party has deliberately subverted language. And the core of it is do we consider the Chinese Communist Party an enemy or not? And that's the fount of everything else. If you look at the Chinese Communist Party and take it at its word, when they say that the United States or systems that aren't the Chinese systems are its enemy, and you say, okay, well, if you're going to treat us like an enemy, we need to defend ourselves like we're being attacked, then that changes the entire toolkit of responses that you can have. And you can see the countries that are closest to China who deal with the aggression from the Chinese Communist Party and the PLA on a regular basis have reappropriated language. So for example, what we blithely call the South China Sea, you know, the Philippines calls the West Philippine Sea, or Indonesia calls the North Natuna Sea. Now, India has renamed the India-China border, I mean, at least in popular discourse, in many cases, the Indo-Tibetan border. So they're cleared that Chinese Communist Party language out of their heads and put in language that they think is much more accurate, so that they can put together the set of responses that are accurate to the ground situation.
Cleo, I mentioned that Mexico is part of this. The U.S. is certainly part of it. Canada's part of it as well. Is there a response from Ottawa about this threat?
So I'm not really sure what's going on in Canada now, because our intelligence services have come out and said that there was attempted Chinese interference in our 2019 election. So Prime Minister Trudeau has had to address it. And there was that incident that many people have seen between Prime Minister Trudeau and General Secretary Xi. And you'll notice I'm not calling him president. This is, again, a reappropriation of language. His power comes from being the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, and secondarily from his position with the PLA. And if you call him a president, you can lead into a way of looking at it that's a normal country, a normal democratic country, because they have a president, U.S. has a president. But that language is deceptive. So, again, I'm calling him General Secretary Xi. And there was that alleged dressing down of Prime Minister Trudeau. But if you look at what actually comes out of it, both men come out of it being able to turn to their people and deliver the message they want. Trudeau can say, look, I stood up to him in the meeting and I shared the information. And General Secretary Xi can say, look, I dressed down this petulant young boy. So I don't really know what happened. I don't know why they let it be filmed. I don't know. I don't know what happened. And I'm waiting to see actual changes within the Canadian system. There's a move now to try to get some legislation that would be equivalent to the U.S. FARA register. In Canada, you don't have to register as a foreign agent if you're trying to influence political people. So there's a move to try to get that to happen. If that happens, then that would be very encouraging.
And the chemical warfare, is that mentioned in Ottawa anywhere in this writ against the People's Republic?
No. No. And in fact, Canada, the Port of Vancouver is an entry point for fentanyl that it comes into Canada, but it also flows into the U.S. And there was recently a commission, the Cullen Commission on Money Laundering. And one person there testified, an RCMP, former RCMP, 10 years ago, he was tracking the Chinese triads, which function, as Gordon was explaining, along with the Chinese state when required. The Iranians and the Sinaloa cartel working together in Vancouver. And you may not have noticed there have not been mass arrests on that, and they've been doing it for at least 10 years. And they're finding loopholes in the Canadian system where Canada, in order to testify against these people, you need to say who your informants are. And it's just too dangerous because of that law for Canada to prosecute people in Canada. So most times, they wait for the criminals to go into the U.S. and then wait for the U.S. to pick them up. And because that piece of legislation also isn't changing, that also shows that we're not really serious about fighting this problem.
Cleo Pascal, Gordon Chang, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day.
Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.